Translation, First Canon, Third Chapter, Verse 6. First of all, in the beginning of creation, there was the four unmarried sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, who being situated in the vow of celibacy, underwent severe austerities for realization of the absolute truth.
No easy position.
What? That's the wrong verse. That's the one we just read. That's the one we just chanted. Verse 6. What did you say?
Don't need a translation.
Huh?
You don't need translation.
Oh, we don't need. Don't need a translation. He needs.
Okay.
He can just look at it. The creation of the material world is effected, maintained, and then again annihilated at certain intervals. So there are different names of the creations in terms of the particular types of Brahma, the father of the living beings in the creation. The Kumaras, as above mentioned, appeared in the Komara creation of the material world, and to teach us the process of Brahman realization, they underwent a severe type of disciplinary action as bachelors. These Kumaras are empowered incarnations, and before executing the severe type of disciplinary actions, all of them became qualified Brahmanas. This example suggests that one should first acquire the qualifications of a Brahmana, not simply by birth, but also by quality, and then one can undergo the process of Brahman realization. Om Gyanat Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksurmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhitam Stafitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Sadati Svasadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sita Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sajagatam Sahagana Raguna Sandhitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shishi Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Desastarane Vanchakalpa Turuvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Pratitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Trishe Namaha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jayate Gopesha Gopika Kansa Radha Kansa Namo Tapta Kansana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavani Shri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Krishna Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate tat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinata. So the Kumaras, they're Mahajanas and they're also empowered incarnations. They were some of the first sons of Brahma. There's four of them. And when they were very young, Brahma, because he's Prajapati and his duty is to populate the universe, he actually arranged their marriage and told them to come and get married. They were just 5 years old. And they refused because they thought that family life, household life would interfere with their spiritual life. So at first, Brahma became very angry. So how can you disobey the order of your father? But then, because he's very intelligent, he understood that they were disobeying for a higher purpose. They wanted to, you know, concentrate only on spiritual life. So he calmed down. And they not only refused to marry, but they stopped growing. They had so much power that they actually stayed 5 years old, because five-year-olds never distracted by sex desire. So they remained in the five-year-old body, although they developed super high consciousness. So we hear about them different times. Sanaka, Sanatan, they came to Maharaj Prithu, and they can just travel like Narada Muni practically, and they go naked, they're only 5 years old. But Maharaj Prithu, even though he was a king, he came and he put on a deer skin or something, and he greeted them and washed their feet, and then they preached to him. And so exalted. But they have a sampradaya, the Kumara sampradaya. There's four sampradayas. The Brahma sampradaya, the Rudra sampradaya, and the Lakshmi sampradaya, and then the Kumara sampradaya. And that's still going on in the world. The Nimbarka Sampradaya, it's called Nimbarka Sampradaya now, but that's from Kumaras. You can read from Bhaktivinoda Thakur that there was some brahmanas in Navadvip. They were worshipping Shiva. And one especially named Nimboditya, he was especially worshipping nicely, and Lord Shiva came to him and told him to go in the forest, and he would find these four young boys, and he learned from them about worshipping Radha and Krishna. And that became the Nimbarka Sampradaya. He became the main acharya for that. So they're showing the example. They did great tapasya there. At first they were not Vaishnavas, they were what's called Brahmavadi. It's not exactly Mayavadi. A Mayavadi is against the idea of a personal God. They're averse. No, can't be. But the Brahmavadi, they don't know for sure. You know, they're not. But they were mostly absorbed in the Brahman and the internal meditation on the super soul. But they had power to go even to Vaikuntha. And then we know how they were stopped from entering by Jai and Vijay. Normally, because they're brahmanas and young boys, nobody would stop them, can go anywhere. And so they cursed Jai and Vijay, and then Vishnu, and when they smelled the tulsi blowing from the lotus feet of Vishnu, and then they became Vaishnava. They became understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is something, some people are not exactly Mayavadis, they just don't know. In our preaching, there's many people like that. They're not like against the idea of God, they're not like Mayavadi. They no way, God can't be a person. They have so much philosophy like that. But the Brahmavadi is satisfied, you know, meditating on Brahman, but they're not against the personality of God. And when they hear enough or get exposure or get association with a devotee, they will understand. Sukadeva Goswami was like that in the womb. He didn't want to come out, but it's, you know, it's a safe place. And if I, he was absorbed in the Brahman, and if he came out, he thought he, you know, Maya would attract him. And he was, what, 14 years, 16 years in the womb. Imagine that, you know, right? How the mother must have felt. So his father, Vyasadeva, was trying to convince him to come out, and he said, no, I don't want to come out because I might get into Maya. And Vyasadeva was saying, I'll protect you. And he said, you're a householder, you're in Maya, you can't protect me. So he brought Krishna. He went to Dwarka and he brought Krishna, and Krishna told him, please come out, and he did. So he immediately grew up to be 16 years old. You know, he was born small, but immediately became 16 years old. And he left home, took sannyas. He'd already learned Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, because Vyasadeva was always reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, so in the womb he was hearing it. So he immediately left home, and Vyasadeva tried to call him to come back, but he didn't. And he was also completely, you know, renounced. Anybody could see. He also went naked. But these things we can't understand. The common people, they were laughing at him and joking when they saw him. But when he came to Naimisharanyam, all the sages, and they recognized immediately. And then he spoke in Srimad Bhagavatam to the crowd. So these are things that we don't have people like that anymore. But this is just something a brahmachari. They didn't want to get entangled, the Kumaras. They had so much power that they could actually stop their body from growing. Because we see that children, 5-year-old children, 3-4-year-old children, they don't, boys and girls, and they're not so much discriminating between, you know, at a certain age, then all of a sudden everybody starts to have all kinds of feelings that they, you know, didn't have before. So they didn't want that. And Brahma, being, you know, in mode of passion, sometimes, you know, he'd become angry, but then his intelligence, he could control that anger. That happened another time with Brahma, when the rishis or sages, they wanted to see who was actually the, you know, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who is the real supreme. Saying yesterday how the Mayavadis, they say, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Mahadev, they're all the same, they think. There's no difference. Can worship any one of them. And they, so they sent Bhrigu Muni, who's also one of the sons of Lord Brahma and brother of Lord Shiva, then, and to test. So I think he first went to Brahma, and he ignored him, or something, didn't pay respects, and Brahma became very angry because it's his son. And but then he calmed down also because he had great intelligence. Then he went to Shiva, and Shiva came, my brother, and he tried to embrace him. He said, don't touch me, you dirty, filthy, you know, you're from the crematorium, and, you know, don't touch me. And Shiva became very angry, but then Parvati calmed him down. He said, you know, you're supposed to be Dira. Shiva is supposed to, you know, Dira means undisturbed. So Shiva calmed down. Then he went to Vishnu. Vishnu was lying down, and he greeted him, and Bhrigu Muni just kicked him on the chest. And then Vishnu, you know, said, oh, I'm sorry, I hope that you didn't hurt your foot, because my chest is very hard. And so then when he reported that, they all understood that Vishnu is actually supreme. There's a difference. But the Mayavadis, they don't see that. They're trying to see everything. And not only Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, but then they're thinking themselves also to be the same. So that's danger. And this Mayavadi, you know, is Krishna appointed Lord Shiva to come as Shankaracharya and teach this Mayavadi philosophy, mixing everything up, bewildering everyone, and for a purpose, because to help Kali Yuga progress. So the Brahmanas, caste Brahmins, when, you know, Lord Chaitanya was preaching, they didn't like that, you know, they didn't like it. Because when in the Mayavadi thing, you take the pleasure, the personal, you know, exchanges of love and everything out from religion, then there's not so much pleasure in religion, it's just from tapasya. And then that makes people take more and more shelter of sense gratification. So that was part of it. That was the purpose, to help the Kali Yuga progress. It sounds, you know, why would Krishna do that? But that's because that's what people want. So we get, you know, nowadays, like, in every aspect of life, the Mayavadi thing is just there. And even though the tradition of the religion is very personal in all the religions, it's removed by this Mayavadi teachings. Even some of the mainstream Christian sects, I guess you call them in English, but, you know, there's different approaches. Some of them, their definition of God is exactly like, you know, Shankaracharya, but there's nothing in the Bible like that. It's not nothing that Jesus taught like that. But they just get bewildered. And then it comes down to, like, well, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Everything is the same. You know, it gets so far. You know, you can eat meat. It doesn't matter. Everything's just the same. It's just God's energy. You know, they just carry it further and further and further. So it's very dangerous. And Prabhupada, you know, was so much against it. In the beginning, devotees were wondering, who are these Mayavadis, you know, Prabhupada's always talking about. They thought it was like some group or something, some particular group. And then they finally realized they were Mayavadi, because, you know, everybody who tried to study any kind of spiritual thing, it's all Mayavadi, it's all Buddhism or, you know, some kind of Mayavadi literature. And so the Prabhupada had the Bhagavad Gita, he didn't have his Bhagavad Gita at the time, and he was reading from another Bhagavad Gita. And he wasn't reading the purports, he was just reading the slokas. So the one where it said, become a devotee or offer everything to me. And then Prabhupada mentioned that this Mayavadi commentary was, Krishna doesn't mean to offer it to him, he means to offer it to the unknown, unborn, something, you know, beyond him. And one of the devotees said, well, what's wrong with that? They said, Prabhupada, you know, he turned red in the face, he almost broke the desk, he smashed his hand. And, you know, he said, Krishna means what he says. But they interpret the Bhagavad Gita like that. Well, Krishna says give it to me, but he doesn't mean me. He means something else, and it's actually something beyond. And, you know, everybody's got some kind of idea like that. God can't be a person. You can't say the name of God. You know, many, many different things. That you can't have a form of God. You know. God doesn't have a form. But it's all something that came into all these different religions at a certain time in recent history due to the preaching of Shankaracharya. But that was to, you know, bewilder the Buddhist, because he introduced at least the Vedas, but still with the basic Buddhist kind of teachings. And then, so then Lord Chaitanya came himself and he's giving us the real thing. Krishna is the person. Krishna's the original, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhagami. That's what we're very fortunate to have. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Okay, any question? Yeah.
If you train any of the four sampradayas, you can come to a perfection, which means going to the spiritual world.
Yeah. If you really follow them. But now, in this day and age, this sampradaya Lord Chaitanya chose, and it's the best connection. And but if people really follow any of them, it's all right. Like the Lakshmi Sampradaya, they worship Narayan, so they're going to go to the Sambhaikuntha. They chant different, but they chant, the Lakshmi Sampradaya, they chant Narayan, 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 Narayan. And other ones, they chant mantras, but they don't chant the same Maha Mantra we chant.
They chant names of God.
Question?
Giraj wants to ask, but he is not on the topic.
Yeah?
Giraj asking the importance of second initiation and the meaning of
that. Again.
Giraj asked the importance of second initiation and meaning guide the mantra.
Well, first place initiation. To become Brahminical is important. Many people think they just get initiated, they don't want to be qualified. So I'm just saying first, there's a lot of mistakes devotees have made, that it's some kind of prestige or something that, you have to do. So for going back to Godhead, it's not necessary. Necessary to chant Hare Krishna. But, so Prabhupada says, not for everybody, everyone doesn't need it. But by these mantras, the meditation can help us to understand Krishna more and that help us to become better chanters. So the mantras are. You can find them in different places, piece by piece, but they're not supposed to be just given out. What we have is the first one everybody knows in the world, every Hindu. Right? Om Bhur Bhuvaha Swaha Tat Savitur Varna Bhana Dev Siddhimi Yo Yona Pachavaya. It's a popular song. In the supermarket in Bali, it's always playing. But they don't really think about it, they just know it. And it's apparently it's for the sun god. But it's not for Surya, it's for Surya Narayan, really. That's Krishna. You know that. And the other, then there's mantras that are for the Guru. Then there's mantras that's for Lord Chaitanya. Understanding something about Lord Chaitanya, offering obeisance to Lord Chaitanya. Then there's Krishna mantras, two of those. And they're all about Sambandha Prayoja and Abhideya. Sambandha Abhideya and Prayoja. Connecting with Krishna. And then learning how to serve Krishna and achieving the highest goal. So the one mantra is in Vrindavan, we have that says Radha Madan Mohan Temple, that's for Sambandha. Then Radha Govinda is for Abhideya, and then Radha Gopinath is for Prayoga. So it is important we should come to the point of, you know, Brahminical and. But there's some we don't preach, but some other Gaudiya groups say you have to have Gayatri Mantra and you have to have the Brahman initiation to go back to Gaudiya. And because ISKCON doesn't just pass it out freely, sometimes they say, well, I'll give it to you right now. Okay, and then the foolish people just leave ISKCON. But we are supposed to be, even for first initiation, you know, we are more careful, we take time, make sure someone's really serious, and for second initiation also, that they have more understanding of the philosophy, because Brahmana should mean that then you're preaching more, and for temple deity worship, we have to have second initiation. Prabhupada made that standard for although we make exceptions in some cases, but for home, like a lot of people come, well, I'm at home, I'm not initiated. For deity worship, Prabhupada gave it, we didn't, he said once that the book distributors could have Gaurinitai deities and give them to people and just tell them they're wish dolls. And you just offer some incense and make a wish. You know, he said then that, you know, by doing that, they'll gradually want to know more and more. So we haven't done that so much, but, you know, for the idea is that, you know, the temple deity standards are, you know, timely and all these different things. At home deities, you don't have that. Have to have the offering at this time and do this and do that. It's just, you know, do what you can. Although some people at home, rich people or something, they have higher standard than some temples. Is that all right? Any other question?
Yes. I read one book. I can read it now, and I have a question about the chanting. The purpose says, living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is shared by their personified. And I wanted to ask, on one hand, people at least sometimes join Harinam and say Krishna by joke, and me myself also sometimes chant and I still freed myself. So on one hand, there are people chanting and making a sense, and on another side, on other hand, they can be chanting unconsciously and be free. So I wanted to ask what makes the difference.
Well, You know, like the gateway is open or something. Not that you can just say, okay, I just joked and said Hare Krishna once, now I don't have to do anything anymore. But it will start them on the path, so then at the same time they're already free. If someone can chant offenselessly even once, they can be immediately liberated. But they might also go back to their sinful activities. They may be free for a short time. But any chanting does something. It starts something. So even people drunken, they just joke. Even the insulting, they're getting the benefit. So they're actually connecting to Krishna, and that's what starts them on the way. So the, you know, Prabhupada said, even they read even one word of the book, even they just touch the book, they get so much benefit. They're still entangled in the material world, but they, you know, they're on their way out. Krishna's, they've connected to Krishna, and it will keep happening that they'll get out. Just like all of us. We're chanting, you know, sometimes maybe without offense, sometimes with offense, sometimes inattentively. But somehow by Krishna's grace we keep chanting. And so therefore we're actually liberated, but we don't fully realize it. Not easy to understand Krishna.
What should the devotee do that has a hard time, have no taste to do something, have no meaning to do?
What was that question again?
I asked, what should the devotee do when he is having or she really hard time, really closed heart, have no taste to do something? Everything seems meaningless. No, just hard time.
Pray.
Pray for what?
Pray to do it anyway, you know. Nothing is easy. You know. And if we're having a hard, I don't know what you mean by hard time, but, you know, we're unwilling or, but that's, you know, sometimes we have a hard time just to make us desperate. So we'll pray more. Like, if you go for book distribution, sometimes we go a few hours and nobody will even notice us or what to speak of, take a book. So then we generally will become, start to really pray. And if somehow it's going really nice, we might say, oh, well, I'm really good, I'm great, I'm doing so nicely. And then we forget Krishna. So, yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, thank you all very much. This is my last day here. And the sun came out. Mm-hmm. Probably from now on it'll be really hot weather, right? As soon as I leave. So, anyway, we'll be here all day. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
You look over each other.